The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website freshfm.net for our contact details.
Sport. The Marco Rugby Roundup.
Welcome to episode 9 of the Marco Rugby Roundup podcast, where we find out who the fanatics are when it comes to all things rugby in the top of the South. I'm Chris Butler, and we've got two co-hosts today. First of all, Mr. Rugby himself. Welcome back, Les.
Yeah, great to be here. Pretty poor weather in Nelson and surround, so our best wishes go out to anybody affected by the weather.
Yes.
But nevertheless, a chance to chat about rugby might be a bright spot in someone's life.
It could be. And our other co-host is Ethan Blackadder. Welcome to the show, Ethan.
Cheers, Chris. Thanks for having me, mate.
Hey, it's fantastic to have you actually come in, because usually most of our interviews are by phone, but to actually have someone in the studio for the show, it's just it's fantastic to have you here. In today's show, we're going to be talking college rugby, a Marco update with FPC and MPC. Of course, our special guest, we're going to be talking to Ethan more about his rugby career and the mighty All Blacks and what a win they had in South Africa. First of all, Les, it's great to have Ethan in the studio.
Oh, it's awesome. Good to see you face to face, Ethan. Mate, welcome to the show. So what has the team been doing with you as a support to them in the weeks you've been back in Nelson?
Yeah, no, cheers, Les. It's bloody awesome to be here. I got back a couple of weeks ago and, rejoined the Marco boys. And, yeah, I've just been sort of helping out where needed, really, whether it's around some lineouts or some attack, D, yeah, just sort of whatever. So
an assistant coaching role?
Oh yeah, I wouldn't say no, that.
But, let's call it that.
Yeah, in a little way, but I've just been rehabbing my shoulder and putting some time and energy into that and helping when I can.
Yeah, well, I know the boys would love having you around, so it's good to have you back in Nelson.
Cheers, mate.
All right, well, let's get into First 15 rugby, and Nelson College defeated Christchurch Boys High School 27-24 at home. What a great win!
Yes, it was a great win. Like all battles with Christchurch Boys High School, very, very close. But yeah, they did prevail. And very importantly for them, St. Thomas has lost their semi-final. So that means that Nelson College ended up top of the competition in terms of hosting the final, which will be against St. Bede's.
So St. Bede's must have been travelling pretty well. Ethan, have you had much of a chance to watch the team?
No, I haven't, mate. No, I couldn't last weekend, so I haven't actually been to a First 15 game in a long time. But, hopefully go and watch this Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the young team, but they're doing really well at the moment, aren't they?
This is a team, you know, as we've talked about, they've got half a dozen year 11s in it, half a dozen year 12s and some leavers. It was against, I think, our prediction at the beginning of the year that they would make the final. We thought top eight would be a really good achievement for such a young team. But under coach John Phillips, Jono Phillips, they continue to just be successful. It's a real factory at Nelson College, that's for sure.
Waimea Combined Schools took on Selwyn.
Yeah, their season came to an end, unfortunately, with a loss down at Lincoln. So, yeah, their season's done. I think they'll look back on this as a really tough year for them. So many road trips and just a tough comp in terms of playing against the bigger colleges. So, they finished 11th, and they can be happy with that. But, yeah, they'll be looking for an improved year next season.
Tasman Marco women last Saturday in the FPC game. Well, we said that this Otago Spirit team was a good team, and it proved to be the women going down 39-7. So I didn't get a chance to watch the game, Les, but what were your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts were that we wanted them this year. It's all about improvement, and the key was to stay in the fight. Otago Spirit, a really good team. Ethan, you know, they've beaten us like 85-0 in previous games. So to hold them to 39-7, I thought was awesome. Now, they started poorly. They were 17 points nil down with 16 minutes gone. So to stay in the fight, you know, and lose by 39-7, score the final try, have the final say, yeah. I thought it was really good. And, you know, what we are seeing from this team is totally different to what we've seen in the past.
Ethan, what are your thoughts? Do the camps have much to do with each other throughout the season?
No, not that I, because I haven't been back for a couple of years, so not that I've sort of noticed, but I've been watching a little bit of the girls play, and no, I've been impressed, eh? I've been having a yarn to Billy Guyton, one of their coaches, and he's really impressed with how they've started off this year, and they're putting some nice performances together. I watched a little bit of their game last weekend, and they stayed in the fight at times, which was great. Otago just had a couple of good ladies playing in key positions. Their nine was quite hard to stop, but I think the girls will go real well this year, and I hope they do too.
So what happens next, Les, because tomorrow's game is rained out?
Yeah, it definitely is. Trafalgar Park is a water polo pitch at the moment. So, that game has been cancelled, not postponed, because the result wouldn't have changed the final playoffs structure. So what happens is they get a week off, and then next Saturday they'll go to Blenheim and they're going to play a quarter final.
Oh, straight into the quarters.
Yeah, straight into the quarter finals. So the kickoff time for that will be advised over the course of the week, and we'll talk about it next Friday.
So is that a direct knockout?
So the top two teams in the championship get next weekend off, and the bottom four teams play. So the Marco will play number two, will play number three, which from memory is the North Harbour Hibiscus,
right,
who they defeated in the round robin.
Right, well, best of luck to them. Tasman Arco men last Saturday, well, it's a tough start to the season. Obviously, Otago, there must be something in the water down there, because it looks like both the men and the women are performing quite well at the moment. The Marco men going down 25-19. Again, unfortunately, I didn't get to see the game, so how did it go, boys?
Well, I travelled over to Tarkakut and watched it with a bunch of farmers in the in the pub, and we had high expectations. But unfortunately, it was a pretty lacklustre performance by us. Ethan, would you say that the forwards would have had a good look at themselves this week?
Yeah, we had a really honest week and real honest review, actually. So, yeah, took a lot of things out of that game, the boys did, and there's no point sort of dwelling on what has happened. The only thing we can do now is be a lot better and take those learnings.
Yep, but what, you know, if you put your finger on something, what would you put your finger on for such, you know, what was a performance really down on normal Marco standards?
Oh, I think we didn't win the gain line battle and the breakdown battle. Yeah, so Otago are pretty ferocious there, and we just sort of couldn't match it at stages. Yes. And then we had enough opportunities, actually, but we just didn't nail it in their 22.
Yeah, they're a young team, and the longer the game went on, the more eager they got, of course, and it's really hard to change momentum. I thought a key moment was just before half time. It was 8-all. Otago had failed to kick the ball out properly, so there was a scrum on halfway with the Marco feed. And somewhere our concentration on the set piece went away. We lost the scrum. We then got a penalty against us, marched 10 metres, and they kicked a goal to go to 11-8 at half time rather than 8-all. And I thought that was just an interesting microcosm in the game that showed me that we weren't on our game.
Yeah, well, you know, the Deep South teams seem to be improving, that's for sure, and both Otago and Southland. So we've had a tough battle, but obviously the machine isn't quite well oiled. But do you think there's still confidence within the team there, Ethan?
Yeah, that's right. It's only round two, and sometimes you see a few things like that early stages, just because you get everyone coming back from different teams, and yeah, it just takes a little bit of time sometimes, but no, we're going to be fine, and I feel like the boys are really up for this weekend's game against Harbour.
So talking about that, that's tomorrow in Albany, so likely that game will go ahead. 4:35 versus North Harbour. So what are our thoughts on that?
Well, I'm loving the fact that we've got two All Blacks back in camp, so that's three with you, Ethan, as well. But playing tomorrow, we've got Lester Whanganuku on the left wing, and Sevu Rees playing, I think, his third game for the Marco, and he's going to play at fullback, which is an interesting proposition. You know, he's not the tallest. Yes, he's not the tallest fellow, but he does like to think of himself as a fullback, I'm told. Is that true?
Yeah, well, he's good at catching the ball in the air. He's got a lot of hops, and he can kick the ball too. So, I'm looking forward to seeing him at fullback.
Yeah,
he would have a bit of pace through the break line, wouldn't he? I mean, if there's a gap, off he goes.
Yeah, he's a dangerous finisher, mate, and as is Lester. And
Timothy Tavatavanaiwai.
Exactly. So
what a back three.
She's a lethal back three for Tassie.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's good.
So they're stuck with Alex Dangerville and Levi Moore in the centres, not bothered changing that up by perhaps putting Lester at 12 or whatever. So I think that's a good settled combo with Campbell Parada and Noah Hotham starting in the halves. So, it will come down to our forward pack learning from their last week and this week's preparation and putting in a good performance.
And I guess if you have a couple of performances like that, all of a sudden there's a bit of grit and determination. Right, boys, well, look, that's 2 weeks in a row we haven't performed to our best, so we've really got to turn it on. Would that be the mindset?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I love about Tasman is how honest the boys are. Like, if things aren't done to how they want them to be done, and they review very hard on themselves, and they're honest boys, so they're going to be up for it. I know they will.
Good stuff. So just a plug for the next home game. That's going to be Friday 26th of August in Blenheim, Les.
Yes, 5:35 p.m. kickoff. So, it's a quick turnaround, a six-day turnaround for the boys. So, and of course, Canterbury, that's the derby match. Everyone's up for that. Massive, massive interest over in Blenheim. There's like 17 corporate marquees. I'm getting bulk orders for covered stand seats. I think there's going to be a massive crowd there. And I do like the fact that when there is a full house at Lansdowne Park, you can hear them. Do you find that on the ground?
Yeah, that's right. I love playing at Lansdowne. I reckon it's one of the great venues. And it's just got a good feel to it, eh?
Yeah,
it
really so is. Close to you.
Yeah, that's right. And we always get good support there. So
yeah, I'm expecting a lot of Nelsonians will take the afternoon off, go over, watch the game, and as we've talked about, visit a vineyard or two, either before or after or both.
Yeah. Well, there'll be definitely good support. And how are Canterbury travelling at the moment? Are they going all right at the moment?
Yeah, I've watched both of their games, and they've got a pretty good squad, pretty settled squad with good experience, and they're looking pretty sharp, so that's going to be another real big battle.
Big battle. Well,
doesn't get any easier in this comp. And the interesting thing from the weekend is that Southland nearly tipped up Auckland.
Yeah, right.
You know, the competition now is very, very even, and because anyone can win it, there's no premiership championship anymore, any team can win it. I think it's a great comp right now. Mm. There's a lot of interest in it.
You're with the Marco Rugby Roundup, and our special guest is Ethan Blackadder. And Ethan, you dislocated your shoulder in the Super Rugby quarterfinal against the Reds, and that's with the All Blacks series and tour just coming up. So pretty gutting, mate, eh? What was the feeling like for you?
I knew as soon as I dislocated it, I knew exactly what was going on. Yeah. And usually if you dislocate a shoulder, there's damage being done. It's quite rare for it not to be, but it does happen.
Yeah.
It didn't take me too long. Got a few scans done and knew the severity of the damage and knew what I was in for. So, I moved on pretty fast. I've had a couple of injuries, so I sort of know where my mindset should be.
Yeah.
So that was good.
So had you ever had any dislocation before, or was this the first time?
Second time on the same shoulder, so right, there's a bit of history with this one.
Yeah.
So how long does it take to, recover, to rehab, and then get back on the park?
It's about, from surgery to back playing is about 6 months. I've heard some cases in different sports from the same injury 5 months, but it's about a 6 month injury, these ones.
So when does that mean you get back playing?
I'll be back playing in, I think, start of February will be the Super Rugby pre-season games, so I'll roll back in then. if it's all gone well.
Yeah, well, take it easy. don't roll back in too fast. You play the game bloody tough, Ethan. So, just ease your way back in, is what I say. It's hard to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a physical game, and, there's always, people breaking down.
The nature of the game. So you're a Nelson College lad, 2008 to 2012.
Yeah.
What sports did you play, and what was the highest level that you played rugby at?
Yeah, so Nelson College, loved the school, had a lot of fun there, got lifelong friends from the school, so couldn't speak of it higher. I played cricket from year 7 right through to year 13,
okay.
So that was what I got up to in the summer. And then I played, I think in year 9 I might have played under 40, oh no, year 10 I might have had a couple of games for under 15s, and then I pulled pin on my footy career at Nelson College. And then 3 or 4 years later, I returned to play with my mates in the third 15.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to play in like a mini comp against like Motetti over in Blenheim, a Waimea College team, Garen College. And yeah, it was so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I did at Nelson
College. Did that reignite your passion for the game, just playing for fun?
Yeah, that's right. Playing with no pressure and just literally the love of the game, pretty much. So, yeah, it did.
Yeah, wonderful. I remember seeing you after college playing some Division 2 rugby. I was walking, Tony Lewis, the old CEO, and myself, we went to go and watch the main game, but got there enough time to watch you running around in a Div 2 fixture. He said, "Who's that blonde kid in number 7? He's awesome. We've got to grab him." So, anyway, that was just a chance for us to spot you as a young adult playing your Div 2 footy, which I'm sure, again, was playing with mates and having fun. Obviously, you then went on to play serious footy for Nelson Rugby Football Club, Tap Tap, and... you won the 2016 Tasman Trophy with them, co-led them. What does the Nelson Rugby Football Club mean to you?
Yeah, it means a lot, mate. It's funny you know about that tap-tap stuff. I got into play for Nelson when I first left school, and it's been my club right through, so it means a lot. I've got lifelong friends from the club, and I just really enjoyed our culture we had there and our off-field stuff. And obviously our on-field. So, yeah, love the club. Had a couple of years co-captaining with Chris Kerslake, and that was awesome. And
yeah, the niggly Chris Kerslake.
He's a tough player, mate. And he was awesome to play alongside with.
So he's a centurion now. I guess all of a sudden higher honours took you away from achieving that honour.
Yeah, I'm actually 4 away from just a half century. So hopefully one day we'll put the blue jersey on again. I'd love to.
All right, excellent.
Yeah, so just that mindset of you said that you stopped playing rugby at college and then you got back into it with your mates to have some fun. And now you're playing All Black Tests, so the pressure's back on. So some players don't handle that all that well, as we've seen. Some might have a season with the All Blacks and then they've just disappeared, I guess presumably through a lot of pressure. So what's been the mindset for you to go from having fun to taking on quite a commitment and quite a lot of pressure?
Yeah, the recipe for me is, I have to be having fun, like... If I'm not enjoying something, I'm not going to do it, sort of thing. So, yeah, I play rugby because I love having fun with my mates. And, yeah, obviously there is pressure, especially at the higher levels. And it's sort of, I think you got to experience it to then know how to deal with it. So, like, the likes of if you're at the highest level, there's going to be criticism. There's going to be people that don't like the way you play. There's going to be people that don't like the results with the team you're playing in. So there's always going to be all that. So getting exposed to it first feels uncomfortable, but when you know the beast, you can then deal with it a lot better.
You made your debut for the Tasman Marco in 2016 against Otago and Dunedin, and since then 44 matches for the Marco. So tell us about what the Marco mean to you.
Yeah, the Marco's one of my favourite teams, but like similar to Nelson, like love the Marco, always have, used to watch them from a young fella growing up, a lot of our older mentors and mates played for them, so I love the Marco and what they're about, and the culture's like no other there, and we have a lot of fun, mate. That's the main thing.
Yeah, there seems to be a similarity in the three teams that we've talked about so far, which is Nelson Rugby Football Club, the Marco and the All Blacks, and that you guys always do take time out to enjoy yourselves and have a lot of fun, not only outside of practice, but during practice as well. That's fair to say, is it not?
Yes, yeah, that's right, because we've got such strong bondage and we're all teammates and as well as mates, we can hang out after hours, you know, so... Yeah, that's a frequent thing, especially in the teams I'm involved with. It's great.
So you've got four games to get your 50 for Nelson, and you've got six games to get your blazer, your 50 games for the Marco. So am I sensing that we're going to see you back playing one day for those two teams?
Yeah, oh, I'd love to, mate. Yeah, definitely. I love playing footy in the top of the South. That's where I first got my opportunities, so... Yeah, we'd love to do that.
Well, all the fans would welcome that with open arms, mate. You'd be most welcome to come back and knock off those milestones. So you joined the Crusaders in 2018, and I think, what, have you played about 33 games for them?
I think you're bang on, actually.
Yep.
Yep.
And in your first year, you got named Rookie of the Year, which is awesome. So, again, just dwelling on this... this theme, what makes the Crusaders the successful team that they are?
Yeah, it's a great club, and it's similar to these other two teams I've spoke about. Great environments and real good fellas, and yeah, everything just sort of clicks there for sure. It's I can't really put my finger on one thing. It's like a lot of things done well, so it's a well-oiled machine, you could say, and yeah, I think the thing there is everyone just wants success.
And what's the role of Scott Robertson in making that all happen?
Yeah, as I said earlier, very good coordinator. He wants the best for everyone there, and he's real passionate himself. So like he puts everything into a campaign.
And you sense that you want to play for him?
Yeah, that's right. No, he puts a lot of effort in, off the field, and a lot of organising, and yeah, you can definitely see it.
The ultimate highlight for any player is playing for the All Blacks, and you got that honour 2021, the first test off the bench against Tonga at Mount Smart Stadium, nine tests later. So do you still pinch yourself about wearing the black jersey?
Yeah, I definitely did it at the start, like when you first hear your name, get named on the early in the week. It's like, wow, like, I'm running out to wear it for the first time.
Yeah.
And you definitely pinch yourself, and then once you go through all the preparation, the build-up, and then you realise, right, just got to go out there and play my game and just really enjoy this experience because, yeah, I'll never forget it, that's for sure.
How many minutes were you on the park at Mount Smart?
Oh, I think it would have been 25 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you managed to... stay aware of what was going on. It didn't rush by you with
Nah, that's right. Yeah, just knew it was going to come at some point, and then yeah, the damage had been done. Like it was a lot of points being put on Tonga. So yeah, I just had to go out and just nail my job and just literally enjoy it. It was awesome.
And where's that first black jersey now?
I got my first one, so that game I got that framed. And I got my first starting one, which was the following week. I got that one framed as well.
Awesome.
That will go in the pool room one day.
Yeah, well done. Right. And you've been kind enough to donate one of your jerseys to the Marco team room. So thank you for that too, Ethan. Awesome.
Nah, no worries. It was quite funny because I did that on the Tuesday to the Tasman. And then I did my other one to the Nelson Club on the Wednesday night. So... yeah, it was quite very cool, actually. I was stoked I was able to do that.
Yeah, it's a summary of our conversation. You've got a deep love for Nelson Club, for the Marco, and it's just wonderful to see that a guy like you at the highest level just remembers where they came from. So that's a good, I think, tribute to your own character, Ethan.
Cheers, Liz. Nah, thanks.
Following on from that, though, you're now in an environment where there are seven other Marco All Blacks. I mean, that is just unbelievable, isn't it, when you think about what things were like back in 2012 when you were at college to, you know, this team, the growth of this team, to have seven other All Blacks. Do you guys get on really well still and have a ton of fun?
Yeah, we do, mate. Yeah, and that's exactly it. We all know who we play for or who we played for before any of this happened, and that's the Marco. So, yeah, it's pretty phenomenal, actually, to see those, like, for instance, last weekend's game, see four of them out there on the world stage in a big test match, and they all fronted. So, yeah, now I'm stoked, and the whole region's pretty stoked for that stuff as well.
You make sure you carry your coin with you, so you don't get caught out, Ethan.
I've got it on me right now, mate.
Very good.
Never.
I was just going to say, Les and I, we used to do another sports show on a radio station, and we were talking early Marco days, and then one day we start talking about the fact that I think at the time it might have been four or five. I mean, it started off with one or two in the All Black squad, and then all of a sudden we're talking about five in the All Black squad, and now we've got seven. You know, so just the growth in the region and the fact that the union fought so hard when going to get kicked out of the comp, you know, Northland as well. And now we've got seven All Blacks. So and a pathway. So in the hills, in the Collingwood hills somewhere, there's a lot of talent, isn't there? And especially in the women's game coming through as well.
Yeah, I think Tasman is a real success story this far. I think there should be a book on it one day, Les. You could write that.
Yeah, that's right.
But, exactly what you said, the how it's evolved so quickly, and then the women's game, how that's coming along. Mm. And you'll have kids around the region seeing a clear pathway now, and I think that's great, and it's only going to go better.
So lastly, the old man. Todd,
yeah.
Do you get any comparisons with Todd, and how do you deal with that? And what has he said to you about that?
Oh yeah, Dad, yeah. One of my best mates. Yeah, I get along very well with Dad. No, he's a top man. Learned a lot from him, and we got a good relationship.
Yeah.
So, there's been heaps of that stuff over the years, and at a young age, no, did not deal with it well at all. Yeah.
Is that part of the reason why you chose to just play footy for fun or not at all at college?
Yeah, definitely. A little bit of that. Yeah, because I didn't enjoy the game, and there was little bits of that that definitely didn't allow me to enjoy the game, but also I was into other hobbies, so it was easier to step away from it. But, I had to just get to an age where I could actually deal with it. Mm. And then once I got to there, it was really easy and simple.
Yeah, and what did he say to you?
He never said anything like that. There was never any discussions about why you're not playing footy, nothing like that. He's been real supportive and just let me do my thing.
Mm, yeah,
yeah, and that's how it's always been. It's been great.
Yeah, he's a good man. He's a good man. He's got a sensible head on his shoulders, isn't he? He's always got these wise proverbs. what was that? Treading water. You know, you don't want to just sit there treading water. And those kind of things. So I suppose you've heard quite a few of those, have you?
Yeah. No, he's always had real good sayings like that.
And yeah.
Is he coaching in Japan at the moment?
He is, mate. Yeah. He was here last week, actually.
Oh, good.
He got 2.5 months off and, heading back to Fuchi, which is west of Tokyo, and coaching Toshiba for another top league season. So, no, he's pumped.
Yeah. Well, I think you're both similar in, despite the fact that you probably never realise it, you've ended up this, similar types of guys on and off the field. Really good rugby players and really good men. So, there's something good about the Blackadders.
Good stuff. Well, we really appreciate that chat. Thanks very much. But don't go away, because we're going to be talking about the All Blacks versus South Africa. You're with the Marco Rugby Roundup, and the second test, New Zealand defeated South Africa 35-23. I've got to eat my words, Les, because last week we were despondent. Well, I was despondent. I think you were feeling a bit the same. Couldn't really call it, and said, it's not going to happen. Not after what's happened in the previous five tests or four tests. And then of course there was the Fozzie saga, you know, and I definitely was one that was saying right from the very beginning, actually, and I was the same with Robbie Deans and Henry. So I was the same saying, you've got to pick Deans. I think we need a fresh start. We need a younger coach. It was the same with Razor. I said exactly the same thing. I didn't think that Fozzie, with his past record with the Chiefs and his past history, and also of course in our last Rugby World Cup, you know, we played some okay footy, but I didn't really feel we're on fire like we did play against South Africa. And I said, I'll eat my words, I'll eat my hat, I'll eat
You said whatever. You'd walk naked down.
No, I didn't say that. And no one wants to see that. That's fair. But I'll eat my words.
That's right.
Because the performance against South Africa was sublime. And the thing that struck me was that it was All Blacks of old, probably leading into the 2015 World Cup, where our defence was a brick wall and we were getting across the game line. So that's my thoughts. And of course, they've retained the coach as well, which again, I was against, but it would be interesting to get some different points of view. So Les, what are your thoughts on the game?
Well, we did talk about wanting to see a performance like the first test against Ireland by our forward pack. And, you know, I think that we got that. Well, I know we got that. And it surprised me that Tyrell Lomax, for example, that young front row, they absolutely held that South African forward pack at bay. They were just awesome. You know, the Samisoni, the young Ethan, that front row, I thought, was young, inexperienced, and would get eaten up, and it didn't. And it was just awesome to see, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. Yeah, so like compared to the first test to the second test, there was four or five changes, I think. And and you probably thought like an experience might come into play, haven't played big test matches at altitude, whatever, but it just didn't.
Yeah.
It was amazing, really. Like, yeah, how up for it they were and ready.
I think there were a couple other things that really made a difference. One was Shannon Frizzell at six. All of a sudden we had someone doing a power work in the middle of the park, which freed Sam Kane up a bit. And Richie Mwanga at 10. You know, he can pass a rugby ball, that young man. He is awesome. And he gave David Havili and Rick Ioane that time and space to do what they are capable of, whereas previously with Barrett sort of shoveling a few passes, running sideways a bit, it wasn't apparent. So Richie Mwanga and Shannon Frizzell joining that side in the front row, I thought that made all of the difference in the world.
Yeah, but, you know, in Barrett's defence, and I'm a Mwanga fan, as you know, we got ball going forward. So that allowed him to create that opportunity. So I just thought that because of the forward display, that enabled our backs to be on fire. So I don't know what your thoughts were. I know you're not in the back line, but what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, it looked settled, and yeah, we sort of took our attacking opportunities a lot more. Like in the first test, there was quite a few sort of errors, and we maybe just didn't get that ball to whiff. But in the second test, that we were finding kick space, we were exiting well, and we were playing inside our own 22 and making line breaks. So, like, yeah, we really, they just found their rhythm, I thought.
And it was interesting because South Africa was doing what we've done in the past when we've been on the back foot. They, you know, even if they were on attack, they'd put it into the air. But the difference was this time we challenged for the ball and we won that battle. And if we kicked it, we didn't tend to do as many up and unders, but when we did challenge the ball. So to me, that was the difference. It's almost like South Africa played like us in the first test.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we didn't have a lot of contestable kicks in the second test. No. We were just going long, or they were going long and out.
Yeah, but no, I think kicking to corners and having territory was a big improvement.
Yeah, we're a bit old school, aren't we?
Yeah. No, I don't like midfield bombs.
No, nor do I.
Box kick after box kick, it's just not the old school game.
But Geordie and Will Jordan were really good in the air. So, yes. Like, who knows, if one of them was a drop ball, it's a knock on, Africa has a scrum inside their attacking 22, and then it could be a different story, you know. But they took those high balls, so
yeah, that's
so
right.
It's all of those little moments being executed correctly for a long period of time, right? Isn't it? That sums up into a test victory. It's not easy.
That is exactly it.
Ian Foster is reinstated through to the 2023 World Cup. Yeah. Massive controversy about it, but I think all calls now are saying, okay, well, they've made their decision, right or wrong, we've now got to back them. Just an interesting, I mean, obviously we don't want to put you in any trouble by making any statements that puts you out of favour with the coaching staff. But just probably more interested in behind the scenes, because from the public point of view, I was one of them, we just look at performance and we look at the head coach and we're saying something's not right, something's not working, it's on the head of the head coach, he needs to go. And there were others that were backing Fozzie, and we've got Razor, you know, sitting there and they still back the coach. And we didn't think, well, yeah, you know, one game, big difference, but does one game make that difference? But all reports saying that the players rate him as a coach, that they backed him. Now, that's the public side of things, but, you know, obviously because of your injury, you're not in the squad. But tell us about the relationship with coaches and how that all works on an internal point of view.
Obviously, poor Ian has copped a lot of criticism, especially since sort of end of last year and then right through to this year. It's not valid at times, I don't believe, because he isn't like, obviously the players are out there playing, he's doing his best, it's a whole collective, and yeah, he cops it for the whole lot, but it's just not the case, I don't believe. I think at the moment, it's been a tough couple of months, and then a really clinical performance on the weekend, and sort of, yeah, makes people rethink sort of what's been going on. But yeah, I'd
got myself to the point where I would have been disappointed if he'd been fired. I just thought that the performance was so good, and he'd been treated so poorly by the CEO of New Zealand Rugby. I would have been a bit bloody annoyed if he didn't get reappointed. Well, so he is now, and it's time to build up for a Rugby World Cup.
Well, yeah, I was still in the camp that we needed a fresh start. I mean, it was only one performance, but. It's interesting, we were talking earlier off here about the relationship the players have with the coaches themselves and how much Fozzie has to do with it. Can you tell us a little bit about the structure of your in-training and the assistant coaches and that relationship and how that fits in with what Fozzie has to do?
Because Ian's a head coach, right? And then there's obviously all the assistants, so you get a defence attack, set piece, scrum, backs, you know, so there's a lot of coaches there, and they do a lot of the coaching, and Ian's a really good coordinator, so he's coaching also, but chipping in where he needs to, binding it all together. He's got his team as well as, like, the players, we're a team, but he's got his coaching team himself. So yeah, that's sort of how it works roughly, and then there's constant catch-ups with whatever coach it might be through the weeks and conversations, and yeah, that's sort of a rough structure how it all works.
So your relationship is mainly with the assistant coaches?
Not mainly with the assistants. It's also with the head coach, but right. if you're wanting to talk about defence, you'll go to the defence coach, right, or what have you. But yeah. Ian's always there for a discussion.
So really, I mean, when we're looking at this decision to move on some assistant coaches and retain the head coach, basically a lot of saying, well, why didn't the head coach going? But what the players are saying is, no, Fozzie's a good coach. It's just that the assistant there needed to be some restructure with what was happening with the assistant coaches, the coaching on the ground. Is that your feeling about what happened?
Wasn't in the camp, but my understanding is that it had to have been.
Yeah, right.
But, a lot of boys have come out and said they back their coach, and that's great because, I, on my own opinion, I think Ian's the man for the job.
Right.
At the moment, definitely.
So your relationship that you've had in the past, he's got a lot of knowledge there, and he knows the game very well. So you think that going forward with the team. Now, Joe Smith.
Attack coach.
So he's coming onto the ground. And obviously we've seen the difference with Jason Ryan and Darren Ford's coach. So that combination there is looking pretty sharp.
Yeah. Nah, Joe's very experienced from my understanding. Yeah. Coached a lot of games for Ireland. And then I know Jace very well. I've worked with him for five years at the Crusaders.
Mm.
And yeah, he's a top man and he's a very good coach. Drives a lot of detail and he's very honest. And I think he's going to do great things.
Argentina coming up. So what's your thoughts on going forward from here?
Oh, that'll be in Christchurch. Are you going down, Ethan?
I don't think I'll be able to get down for that one, but okay. It would have been good going to watch the boys in black and support Pablo.
Yeah, and get a 13-plus
yeah,
win.
Yeah,
yeah. not Pablo, the All Blacks.
RG's got a good one against Aussie last weekend.
They did.
Yes. It was very impressive.
Wow, there's a massive score. Big turnaround on the weekend before when Australia won. So, yeah, it's a topsy-turvy rugby championship.
And as Fozzie pointed out, we've actually still got a chance. Oh. After all of this, we've still got a chance to get some silverware out of the championship rugby, so that's great. Oh, look, we really appreciate the time you spent with us for the whole show, being our co-host today, and we wish you all the best for the recovery and helping the Marco boys get back on track.
Thanks very much, Chris and Les. Nah, it's been good.
Okay, that's a wrap, and that's it for another edition of the Marco Rugby Roundup. My thanks to the mighty Les Edwards and Ethan Blackadder. You can hear this podcast on talknelson.co.nz or on our Facebook page and on Fresh FM, 9 o'clock Friday nights. We'll speak to you again next week on the Marco Rugby Roundup. Have a great weekend.
The Marco Rugby Roundup.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, the Top of the South's community access media station, with support from New Zealand On Air. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz.